This leader is provided to permit the projectionist to complete adjustment of focus and sound level before the film begins.
On today's show, we talk about NBA basketball, playoffs, MLB, what are the things that are working, what are the teams that are good, what's going on? It's going to happen right now.
Initiate explosion in 3, 2, 1.
All right, here we are. It is the JLSBX, the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion, here on May 3rd, 2024. Happy May Day, everybody. This is great. The weather's great. We've all survived the storms. Everything's looking good. We're going to have a fun day today. Hey, if you're listening to us, thank you. Share us. Give us a rating. Do all that stuff. Tell your friends about it. You can find us on almost any platform that you can find a podcast. The JLSBX, the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion. And thank you for having us. We're going to talk a little NBA. We're going to talk some MLB. I have a rant coming up here in a bit. You're going to enjoy that because I'm an old man, and get off my fucking lawn is what's going to happen. With the and it's fun that the NFL draft, which has its, as I call the 3 days of listing names off an index card to a bunch of people listening to people list names off index cards. It's great TV, and we've seen all the analysis that's come from it and all that stuff. Some teams getting better grades than others. I still say that the Eagles are interesting in drafting two premier defensive backs, including Coop DeJean from Iowa. The Eagles 11-6 last year, just looking to get better. But that's the fun of the NFL, where it's a year-round sport. Speaking of year-round sports, my guest today, none other than Mr. Logan Pierce. What's up, Logan?
Hey, what's up, man? Thanks for having me.
I just couldn't tell if the studio audience was too much for you to handle there, sir.
Oh, that was way too much for me to handle. But yeah, no, thanks again for having me, man. Appreciate it.
No, you got it. Your takeaways from the NFL draft, just real briefly. I know we weren't prepped to talk about that. But your team, I forgot again. I know you're a Celtics fan. I know you like the Cubs. NFL, who's your team?
Vikings fan, in and out, baby. Skull. Geez.
Jesus Christ, yes, the fucking Vikings. What did you think about how Atlanta signed Cousins for $7 zillion and then draft a premier quarterback in the first round? A little bizarre, right?
Yeah, I was actually at work when I saw that. I was listening to on my AirPods, but when I heard they're drafting Michael Penix, I had the same reaction that you probably did, that everybody did, like, why would you sign Kirk Cousins to a 4-year deal, $180 million, and then draft a quarterback first round? We can go defense, offense, wide receivers, running back, any weapons for Kirk, but a quarterback, really.
And see, I like to think that because I'm not getting paid to be the GM of a National Football League team, I like to give these guys the benefit of the doubt and think they know a little something. You think it might be like, there's an injury or there's a something going on with Cousins that maybe we don't know as the public, maybe?
I think so. I mean, he did. I can't remember when last year he got injured. I know it was late. But obviously you have an injury like that, the same one that Aaron Rodgers did. It's going to be a while to rehab. But obviously they saw something in – they don't think Kirk might not be ready, or they might be pulling a whole, I think they might be pulling a Brett Favre, Jordan Love thing, like trying to groom him, get him ready, like follow behind Kirk. And so he can like,
yeah,
see how he does and then groom him. Then once Kirk's done, then Penix can come in easily.
Yeah. In the current NFL, there's generally every year there's about 5 to 8 teams that draft a quarterback with the intention of get out there now and produce now. Like, get it fucking done now. Where that's the hardest I still say it's the hardest position in sports to play. Because, essentially, there's only 32 people on the planet that can do it, is be starting quarterback in the NFL. And if you ask somebody to go out there and just win now, and you got to, you know, you got to go up against guys that have 100 starts under their belt, Mahomes and so on and so forth, you know, so I'll give them the benefit of the doubt because they know what they're doing, but it was an odd move. Also, when you think you probably could have drafted him a little later, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, it is what it is, and we'll find out. That's the fun of the NFL. It's year-round. The NFL draft gets more ratings than the playoffs of the NHL and NBA, which is why we should talk about the NBA right now. The NBA, it's holding serve, if you want to call it, where all the matchups in the first round are done except for the 4-5s in both conferences. Are there any surprises you saw in the first round?
Other than I was surprised that Miami actually took a game against the Celtics, but obviously,
how dare you
talk about the Celtics?
How dare you?
I had to start somewhere. Fucking,
yeah. Yeah, a gentleman's sweep is not good enough for you fucking Celtics fans. Yeah.
We felt bad. Just got to give them one game. But no, I think the most surprising was the Bucks losing to the Pacers. I mean, if you have your 1-2 guys out pretty much all series, then you're probably going to end up losing. But I didn't expect them to lose as bad as they did.
You would think a team that won the title 2 years ago was a little bit more deep, that they could probably hold serve against the Pacers a little better, you know. But I get it. If you don't have one of the most premier players on the planet in your lineup, it's going to hurt you. I just think it's Dame Lillard is cursed or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's only like, what did he drop? Like 60, 70 points last year. He's had like a 40-20 game or some shit. He's had a remarkable career at a shit team in Portland. He goes to Milwaukee and Giannis gets hurt and he can't, you know, he's cursed. Hopefully, you know, hopefully not completely cursed like Chris Paul or whatever that you are. I think, and I agree with you that Indiana series was a surprise. I also think that it was a surprise that Minnesota, as good as they are, as much in room for them, I mean, they just waxed Phoenix out in 4 games. And that's another team. That's a team that was in that finals 2 years ago too. That's a good, that's a good Phoenix team, but apparently not. So with the young roster that they have there in Phoenix, where do they go from here? Like, do they go into instant rebuild? Do they disband that team, or do they say, hey, you know, we just bad luck, we'll just put it together? And what do they do?
I mean, I figured, I'm pretty sure since they got new ownership, that's when they built their super team. But you got to think super teams don't work anymore because, of course, super team, you had Booker, you had Durant, and then you had Bradley Beal. So you think if you sign all three of them, then there goes your cap room. All of your money's gone. And then to trade, you got to give up draft picks. So they don't really have any future draft picks till like 2030, if I remember. I think I heard on the radio. So they don't have any draft picks. And everybody's getting older. So I think give it one more year maybe. And if not, then I just say blow it up, honestly. Because get as much as you can get in return because you already lost a lot. But just try to get a little bit back as possible, in my opinion.
Yeah. Speaking of moving on, and this is wishful thinking, as a lifelong Lakers fan, on pause, does LeBron come back? What's the next chapter for LeBron, do you think?
I think he should retire. That's just me. But if I'm going realistic,
hey, Logan,
that's the only reason why he'd stay.
Logan, yeah. I'm gonna have to ask you that question again because your connection just went all Atari on me, and it was all weird and all this stuff. So we'll do that one more time. Where does LeBron go from here? Take two.
So I think, like I said, I've always been a LeBron hater. I've never liked him, so I personally hope he retires. But if I'm being all honest, I think he'll probably go back to L.A. because that's where the money's at. L.A. talked about drafting Bronny because, honestly, at the end of the day, whatever team drafts his kid is where he's going to go, honestly. So either if it's L.A., I mean, hell, even if Cleveland drafts him, he could go back to Cleveland. Never know. But, I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, wherever his kid goes is where he's going to go, in my opinion.
Back to Cleveland. Wishful thinking for a Lakers fan is that's where I'm hoping LeBron goes. Sorry to be such a hater, but I just, oh, Jesus. But it is what it is. Is this is this finals coming up here in about 5-6 weeks, you know, beginning of June? Is it a foregone conclusion that it's Denver-Boston?
I think so, unless there's, like, any drastic injuries. The only injury that Celtics had so far is just Kristaps getting hurt. He had the same injury as Giannis. But I'm hoping it's not going to be that long. But barring any injuries, I think for sure it's going to be Denver coming out of the West and Celtics coming out of the East. They're just – nobody can go up against them.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Even without him, who can really challenge Boston in the East?
I'd probably say the only team that could really challenge them that we've had trouble with this year is probably the Pacers, because they've gotten better throughout the year and all the games have been close. So they can, and plus they showed against Milwaukee, they can go up them like David against Goliath. Like, they can go up against anyone. So they're probably the feared. But also, I feel like the Knicks are too, could be like a sneaky pick too, because they've been playing good. Jalen Brunson's been playing good, knocking Philly out like yesterday.
The Knicks being good, and by good I mean 2 seed and having a successful year, I really think that's good for the NBA. It's one of those things where, even if you're not a Knicks fan, and I'm sure you're not, as a Celtics fan, they're just one of those teams in the league where the novice fan, the not so inclusive fan, just it draws their eyeballs when you get the Knicks involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if Yankees, Red Sox in baseball, or like, you know, the Cowboys. I mean, some of these teams that we despise, or as the average fan has a different team or something like that. I just think the Knicks are one of those teams that they draw eyeballs if they're in and if they're doing good. I just don't think they have what it takes to beat the Celtics in a 7-game series. It's probably a 6-game at best. Should be good TV for sure.
Mm-hmm. It'll definitely draw the ratings for sure if it does come to that.
Speaking of good stories, Minnesota is a great story in the NBA. And I've had people tell me it's like Anthony Edwards is the next premier player in this league. Here's the unfortunate thing about that, and that may be actually the thing. He's probably not going to stay in Minnesota, and that's just another one of those, like, doomed tales of these small market cities that can't hold on to one of these type of players. Does Minnesota have a legitimate run at the finals this year?
I think they do. They have enough star power. Their benches has a lot of depth. Their starting five has a lot of depth. Like I said, Ant-Man's definitely been carrying that team. Like definitely barring any injuries, they do have a legitimate shot to beat Denver. Of course, with my dad being from Minnesota, he's a Timberwolves fan, so I watch them a lot. And I feel like they do. Also, they're the underdog. They haven't won pretty much since KG was there. So that's been a long time. But of course,
when KG was there, the best they could do was the Western Finals. They never made it to the NBA Finals. So it's a tall order to fill. Denver being the defending champs and just Jokic being who he is, that is such a hard team to beat. So, but it should make for a good month of basketball to see if anybody can knock off the two. Again, Denver and Boston being the favorites, heading towards an eventual finals, I guess is what we're going to see. Shifting gears, the Major League Baseball, we're 1 month in, and it appears the Dodgers are not 32-0. As everyone may have thought, they are mortal. They can be beat. But we are seeing some damn good baseball from Atlanta and Philly. And surprisingly, the Twins and the Royals somehow. I have no clue how that happened. I want you to answer this question and be honest, and it's going to kill me if you answer it in a certain way. Is Atlanta right now, and probably for the next few years, the team to beat in Major League Baseball?
I think they are. God damn it. Unfortunate, because I knew you were going to say that, but it was painful for me to say it too. But of course, having a lot of Braves fans there, my friends are all just bragging to me like, oh yeah, we're going to be so good the next few years. And I think mainly they were smart locking everybody up so cheap, like when they're rookie year, or like when they're in AAA, because sign them for like 10 years, like barely like next to a penny for how much. Because they have, if I remember right, like 8 people signed for the next 10 years or so. Like,
they got their core locked up. And, and Ronald Acuna Jr. is a freak of nature and may be the best player in baseball. He actually, I mean, and to have him locked up for the next few years. Yeah, we've gone past Mike Trout. It's not Trout anymore. As you know, that was the guy 5 years ago. He's not anymore. It's Acuna. And they have the pitching. It seems like they did everything right. You know, instead of just going free agent market, let's just see what we can do. They built from their farm system, and they've locked up, like you said, they locked up the key players for the next few years. All we can hope for as non-Braves fan is some of these guys have egos, and they're like, well, I should be making more, and they want to jump ship, but they ain't going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
Baseball right now, and I love baseball season as much as you do, it is seeing a decline this year in attendance. And whenever they do this, they tend to, it tends to be a freak out where it doesn't need to be that much of a freak out. No, there isn't that many people going to games in April, and it's down from previous Aprils and so on and so forth. It'll be fine. People are still watching at home. But do you think, if we were to look into that a little bit, do you think that it's a lack of starting pitching? Because I'm seeing, like, my Metropolitans, they're going 5-6 pitchers a game by design. Mm-hmm. It's not a starting star power. I mean, the Braves, I mean, they have, you know, with Fried and a couple, I mean, but I'm seeing more and more teams are going, you know what? Let's get 4 innings instead of 6 innings out of these starters, and let's just go through it. And I'm wondering, does that hurt the viewership or the attendance? There's no, because we can go back not 10 years ago and someone would be like, hey, let's go to a game. Who's pitching would be the next thing you would say. I don't know if anybody says that anymore.
Mm-mm.
What are your thoughts about that? Like,
I have mixed feelings about that. Like, of course, like this year, A lot of pitchers are going down, like getting hurt, like Tommy John, all of that. That doesn't help too, like all the star players going down. But I feel like going 5, 6, 7 innings, like that's how it used to be. Like pitchers would pitch like 7 innings, 8 innings, even a complete game. And that would like spark attendance, like get eyes, like viewers. But now like pitchers are going like 3, 4 innings. And then like you said, like using like 5 pitchers. So your starting pitcher go like 4 innings, then just use the bullpen. So I'm not really sure if that would really affect the attendance or not, but I feel like pitchers going longer definitely does affect, like gets more viewers, in my opinion.
If the trend continues and this becomes because the trend over the past 50 years, you were expected to go 9 innings if you're a pitcher. Mm-hmm. But then like in the 7th or 8th, if you did not have it, we'd bring in somebody for you, and that's okay. And then eventually it became a formula where like there is a thing called a mid reliever and a closer and so on and so forth. But as the trend mm-hmm. continues, this is a committee. This is a pitch mm-hmm. by committee. So I'm wondering, what do you think this does for the game as a whole? If the strategy is to throw out 5 shutdown 2-inning, 3-inning guys, this could lower batting averages, obviously. Because imagine if you had 9 Mariano Riveras. You know, that would totally kill your batting lineup. You know,
mm-hmm.
but if you had it, you would do it. If you were a manager, you'd be like, yeah, I'll throw a fresh guy out there all day long and shut them down. Do you think that this is a good trend for the game moving forward?
I don't think it's a good trend. I'm more obviously with you, like more old school. Like I remember when I watched baseball as a kid, having like, you have a starting pitcher, you have a reliever, and then a reliever or a setup man, and then a closer, pretty much just 3 pitchers most. But now, like, if you're throwing out, like, 5, 6, 7 pitchers, they're throwing every day. I feel like that could lead more to injuries because a lot of pitchers could have, like, days off if you only throw 3 pitchers because you have probably, what, maybe, like, 8, 9 people in the bullpen usually. And if you throw pretty much every one of those guys at least 1 inning every day, it has to come to any certain kind of injuries because if you throw that hard, of course, you have to get 3 outs every day, but if you do that every day, that could be wear and tear on your arm, but I feel like it'd lead more injuries more than anything.
And finally, before we take a break here, in the MLB this year, is there any team that stands out to you right now, one way or the other? Either they're doing better than you thought or less than you thought. I know it's only a month in, it's still young, but I've always said this, and I've always – Memorial Day is coming up in 3, 4 weeks. I've always said Memorial Day is the good bar to judge your team. If you're not in it by Memorial Day, then fuck off. You're done pretty much. And that's sad. That's sad to say because there's a whole lot of season. But really, if you're 15 games out by Memorial Day, you're probably not going to be winning the division. So it is young and it is early to say, but is there any teams that stand out to you one way or the other?
I probably, of course, being a Cubs fan, have to bash on the White Sox whenever I can. But
good
I think the most surprising...
Yeah.
God, I fucking hate the White Sox, so I got bashed on them anytime I can. But I know... One thing that really stood out to me, like when they started, what, like 3-22 or something like that, and the A's had a better record than them, and they're a poverty ass franchise, and they did horrible last year. So just seeing the White Sox doing worse, I love every second of it.
Are you more anti White Sox than Cardinals?
See, I have to be more anti. God, I don't know how to answer this question. Everybody always asks me. I never know how to answer. It's like picking your worst favorite cousin. Like, I can't.
Okay.
Like, if anybody, if you were holding a gun to my head right now, and I had to pick between Cardinals or White Sox, who I hate the most, I'd probably say Cardinals, because Cardinals fans, you might piss off. I might piss off a lot of people listening right now.
I don't care.
They're annoying. I figure you won't give a shit. But at least in my opinion, not yours, mine. I'm gonna help you here. My opinion. Cardinals fans are annoying. They always bring up the past. They're like Yankees fans. They always bring up the past, like winning as many titles as they did. Like, congrats, you won so many fucking titles back then. Do you have any title, any championships right now? No, we have two in the last 20 years.
2006 and 2011. That's semi-recent. I mean, Cubs are more recent. Recent, I get it, but I mean, they have recent success. I mean, so
yeah.
But how pissed off were you when the White Sox won it in 05? when the Cubs were still on like 100, they were right at 100 years, and it's like the fucking White Sox, really? You know?
Yeah, I was still off the 2003, 2004. Doing good, and then, you know, just fell down, had the fall down back then, and, you know, I was, of course, too young, but I was still watching baseball, but I'm more of a fan now, but still seeing the win in 2005, and they're still milking that championship. I'm trying to think how many years, that 19 years ago, if I do my math right.
The White Sox?
Yeah, the White Sox.
Yeah, it was 05, so yeah, 19 years ago. But
yeah, 19, just still milking that. But of course, White Sox would say the same thing about Cubs fans, just milking that title since 2016. But I mean, fuck, we haven't won in 108 years. We're gonna milk it every damn time we can. Shit.
So if I hear you right, what you're saying is, if you were standing at the at an opening of an airplane that was going down to crash, and you had to push somebody out to save yourself, and there was a Cardinals fan and White Sox fan, you'd push both of them out and fall with them and punch them in the face to your death. If that's what you're saying, yeah?
Yep, 1,000%.
Yeah,
yep,
okay, exactly. That's exactly what I heard.
That sums it up, yep. Yeah.
We're going to take a really quick break. We'll be back in just a second. Logan Pierce here on the JLSBX.
I'm a big Mark Grace fan, evidently.
Number 17, Mark Grace.
There's a drive deep to right center field. Hold on for Mark Grace.
I think I had 173. Correct? Oh, I'm guessing 148. Come on. Wow, that was a lucky guess. I'm going to say the Philadelphia Phillies. I'm a big Mark Grace fan, evidently.
This ball's got a chance. Grand slam. Grand slam, Mark Grace.
Oh, gosh.
You're listening to the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion. Now back to the show, you handsome devils.
That's right, we're back. The JLSBX here with Logan Pierce here today on May 5th, 2024. That clip courtesy of Ice Mamba, the Slump Buster mythology there from a Mr. Mark Grace. Now, Mark, as you being a Cubs fan, Mr. Mark Grace, for those who did not quite understand what was explained there, Mark Grace coined the phrase Slump Buster, saying that if your team is in a slump or if you are individually in a slump, then you need to hook up with somebody that's probably in a sexual slump, a.k.a. an ugly chick, a fat chick. This is not me saying this. This is Mark Grace. And he said that can get you out of the slump, and it therefore became iconic, his description of that, and so on and so forth. Which, if you're listening out there, kids, be a baseball player. You know, just do that based on what Mark Grace. Mark Grace, you know, I usually don't have, like, a sentimental attachment to players that were not on my team. Like, I love my Mets and so on. So, like, so when, like, when Dwight Gooden threw a no-hitter for the Yankees, I was happy because it was, I don't give a shit that it was he did it for the Yankees. It would have been better if he'd done it for the Mets. But I was happy because I was a young kid that liked Dwight Gooden. I was a Mets fan. I was like, ah, that's an awesome thing for him, so on and so forth. Mark Grace, I was never a Cubs fan, but I always liked Mark Grace. And Mark Grace got that key hit in the 2001 World Series that led the Diamondbacks over the Yankees. You're probably too young to remember that. But that was kind of cool to see that, you know, Grace played for the Cubs all those years. They weren't going to do anything. They never did anything. They weren't going anywhere. They weren't going to win a title, and he goes to the Diamondbacks in his last years. I thought it was really cool that Grace got that title, and also that he helped propel them in that ninth inning against Rivera. Funny that brings him back up, but that was just really cool. And, you know, big shout out to Mark Grace. But you've heard the slump buster story, obviously, heading into this.
Yep.
So, yeah. And I'm sure you practice that lifestyle, the slump buster lifestyle. I'm just going to assume so right there.
Oh, yeah, always. I practice that daily. Doesn't really work for me most days, but I try every other day.
Yeah, yeah. It's the thought that counts type of thing. Yeah, you know, it is what it is.
It's all if for effort, so.
Yeah, there you go. So right now we're going to do a little bit of Marvin Steve. A Marv is a yes.
Yes.
A Steve is a no.
You, oh, hell no.
And here we go with Mr. Logan Pierce. Here come our questions. Are the Celtics, and be honest about this, are the Celtics the greatest organization in NBA history?
Marv.
Yes.
They have the same amount of championships, 17 as the Lakers, but you're going the Celtics on this, and you're being totally unbiased is what I'm hearing from you.
Oh, absolutely unbiased. I still think we have one more than them because I don't count that Mickey Mouse bullshit 2020.
You son of a bitch. You know, I get it. I kind of don't either. I mean, the opposing argument could be that the Celtics, you know, the lion's share of their championships are just in one decade. They're not really spread out. But that's not, but they're still, you know, successful in the 70s, the 80s, not the 90s, and then they got their title in 08. So, but 17 titles is 17 titles, you know?
I mean, that is true. You can't take that away from us. I mean, granted, I wasn't alive for a good majority of them, but I mean, still got it in 08. If you want to talk about milking championships, we can milk that one all day, any day of the week.
You know, the Lakers do have that bullshit in-season tournament title from this year. So, I mean, you know.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Not that bullshit again. Oh, yeah. I got another in-season tournament ring. My ass doesn't count for shit.
Question two. Is the NBA in-season tournament worth anything?
Hell no.
You go, oh, hell no.
I'm going to agree with you on that because, and I do like the concept of creating a little bit of a buzz in the middle of, well, so when they're doing this in November, December, we're still not in the depths of football season. So they got to create a little bit of a buzz. My only argument with it was that they spread it out within the regular season. And there was times I couldn't fucking tell when I'm looking at the scores on the screen. I'm like, was this a regular? Was this, what game was this? Was this a tournament game? Like, I'm all about it. They just need to knock it out in like a week, you know, instead of like whatever they did 3 weeks or whatever. And it was like, well, this is an in-season game. And now back to the regular season. And now, you know what I mean? It's like, fuck that. Like, you're stupid. Like college basketball. Like, if you're going to go play the Maui Classic, you're going to go do the Maui Classic, and then you're done. And then you go back home, and you play, you know, Stetson.
Or that's your regular schedule, yeah. Yeah, or the, whoever the hell, yeah.
EA, the EA Sports All-Stars or whoever the fuck it is. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever D3 fucking school of the blind, whoever, that early in the year.
As a lifelong Hawkeye fan, and you'd see them play those type games, it always worried the shit out of me when they would lose one of those type games. I'd be like, oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah. Knowing the Hawkeyes, you know they're going to lose at least one. Or they're going to make you think they're going to lose, give you a heart attack, and then come back in the final seconds.
Right. Who is this team? Maryland Eastern Shore? Who the what? And why did we beat them by only 4? Oh, fuck, man. And oh, here comes the Big Ten schedule. Great. Can't wait. So, yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah, I got these cupcake teams and can't do shit.
Can't beat,
but, yeah.
Can't beat them.
That's my last quick rant.
Can't beat them in Iowa City. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Question 3. This one isn't a yes, no. Just give me your opinion. When it comes to eating wings, flats, drummies, or don't give a shit?
I am flats for sure, because I, you know, working at Buffalo Wild Wings, I learned, also my friends learned the technique of like how to press them down so you don't get any of the bone, you just get all chicken. And then with the other one, flats, and then with drums, I always have the worst part, like biting the fucking bone. And then I'm like, I just throw it away. Like I'm done. Like I'm definitely team flats for days. And people who prefer drums are the people who like fucking blue cheese with it. It's no,
that's me.
No, flats all the way. Oh, okay. That makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck you. It's just funny how that's like a thing. Like, to tell you the truth, I'm just like, just throw me some wings, man. I really don't care. But it is funny. People do have a preference. It's like, make them all drums, make them all, you know, it's like, okay, man, didn't know it was a thing. Like, it's just a bunch of chicken, but whatever. It's all great.
Yeah, it's all going the same place. Just give me beer, just give me flat boneless, or it's like the whole people saying boneless aren't wings. Like, they're pretty much just like glorified chicken nuggets. I'm like, I don't give a shit. Just give me boneless wings. Give me whatever. I'm hungry. Just give me my fucking food and beer. I don't care.
So since we're on a food-related rant, let me ask you this. Does pineapple belong on pizza?
No. Hell no. Hell no. Hell no. Fuck pineapple on pizza. No.
In no circumstance. Even if we have Canadian bacon or ham, you say no.
No. No. No circumstance. Nope. Nope. 1,000 times no.
You're a true American. I like it.
I'm a true American, true patriot, definitely. True Italian pizza, in and out. So pineapple, if you like pineapple on pizza, you like blue cheese with wings, you like drums, you are not a patriot. No, no, no. That's my quick rant.
Yeah, an ISIS supporter I am. Thank you. Next question, and this is a big one. Should Major League Baseball get rid of the pitch clock?
Yes. Definitely yes.
That's a Marv.
Yes!
Thank you for saying that, because God damn it. A fucking clock in baseball is so, it's so anti what fucking baseball is. You know?
Yeah.
Like, the only time you should, if you want to have a fucking clock in baseball, then let's make it 60 seconds switching out the defenses. I'm okay with that. Like, hey, that's the third out. Next pitcher and catcher, get your asses out there. You got 60 seconds to warm up, and then we're going. Mm-hmm. I'm fucking fine with that if you want to do that. But the goddamn pitch clock... As I was mentioning earlier, we were talking about the lack of starting pitching and star power. A lot of these pitching injuries, I think, are coming because of this fucking pitch clock. I really do.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I was actually talking to my buddies about that with the recent pitchers going down with Strider. Can't remember the pitcher for the Guardians.
No, they're the Indians. Shut the fuck up.
Oh yeah. No, I'll say Guardians. I'll just say Indians. I still say Indians, but they're never the Guardians to me. Okay. The only reason why I said Guardians because I saw that name in front of me, but no, they're Indians to me anyways. Fuck the Guardians. No, but anyways, away from that side rant, back to your question. Yeah, definitely. Pitch clock is definitely a factor with all the pitchers going down, especially starting pitching. Because I remember I read an interview with Garrett Cole talking about it, and he even came out and said that it's definitely the pitch clock is affecting injuries because pitchers are having to throw quicker. Instead, because you're throwing like 80, 90, 100, maybe like 102 miles an hour. And then if you have like 20 seconds maybe to get set and then throw again, if you're putting so much strain on your arm that maybe within five games you're going to tear something because your body's not used to that, especially with the new pitch clock this year and last year too.
Well, and major league pitching is an unnatural act. Like, no human beings are supposed to throw an object like that hard, you know? So mm-hmm. to do it once is incredible, but to do it 80 to 100 times, that's mm-hmm. that's going to fuck your shoulder up. And then to be rushed into doing it? So, no thank you on that. Finally, fifth question. And this, you better get this right. Marv or Steve?
All right.
Is LeBron the GOAT?
Hardcore Steve, no.
Hell no.
Thank you. Would you say MJ, even though you never saw him play?
I'd say still MJ. Like, you could tell earlier on in the episode, I'm definitely a LeBron hater because he's a flopper. He's a crybaby. MJ never did that. LeBron could never play in his era. He would get bullied around. He'd cry, storm off the court. He reminds me of the little kid who gets in, who cries on the court and just takes his ball and leaves. That's who he reminds me of.
Wow. That was the best answer I've ever heard, like, about this whole thing. I was expecting you to just give me, like, a tacit little like, No, you nailed it right on the head.
Hey, man, I try. I got to say the best one for last. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give you one extra one that's the best one. This is not a Marv or Steve. It's not a yes or no. Just as we get you out of here, best pro wrestler of all time.
Best pro wrestler. Are we talking WWE? What are we talking here?
Whatever league you want to talk about. We're talking pro wrestling. WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, whatever you want. NWA, I don't care.
I'd probably say, this might sound a homer, but I'm going to go a little off the map here. He played for the Vikings. I'm going to go Brock Lesnar.
Wow.
Played for the Vikings. Yeah. I'm going to go a little under the radar here because you have
had a championship there in UFC. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. Got to go a little under the radar. Got to keep you thinking. So,
no, this is great because I've start asking this question of all my guests, and what's fun is you get so many varieties of it. But the fun part is pro wrestling is such a nerd's interest, you know, that nobody wants to admit that they even know anything about the goddamn thing, but everybody's everybody somehow does know everything about the goddamn thing. Yeah. So when you ask, it's like oh, well, since you asked, I'm going to go with, you know, and.
Yeah. Because we're on the subject.
Pro wrestling is not first date chatter. So what do you do for a living? I'm an attorney. I work for blah, blah, blah. Hey, did you see WrestleMania last week? It's like, no. What? So it's not something you bring up in a job interview or first date, but man, if someone then counters with like, fuck yeah, I did. Now you're connected in this weird way.
Yeah. Then you found the match made in heaven right there. Cause you know, nobody's going to talk about wrestling, but as soon as you do, the other person's like, oh yeah, I watched it. It's like, I love you. It's like match made.
This bitch went on a 10-minute tirade about how the Hart Foundation, had this brutal like rivalry with the British Bulldogs in 1988. I'm marrying her. Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Like, I don't even care if she's right about her opinion. It doesn't even matter. The fact that she even knows who these people are. Like, fucking, how many kids can we have?
Yeah, how many kids can we have? Can we get enough to go into wrestling, too? Make some wrestling offsprings.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, man. Good to talk to you, my friend. As always, Mr. Logan Pierce, thank you. Any final words, sir?
I did want to bring up the remember the Cubs Mets. I told you yesterday I was going to bring it up. It could be quick, but what did you think about that call at home plate?
Bullshit.
Oh no, it wasn't.
Fuck
no,
you.
Wasn't.
It was bullshit.
We'll agree to disagree.
I do understand. Okay, two things about that play. I do understand that there should have been a pinch runner for Alonso in that situation. So that was a fucking, that was a mistake right there. And I do understand that Alonso's arm came up when he got to home plate. That's because there was a goddamn foot on the fucking plate from the fucking catch. Guys. So. But either way,
I'll let you simmer on that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah. Well, the series went 2-2 out of the 4-game set, and they play in Wrigley in June or July because I have my eyes on it about perhaps going up to see it. I'd like to take my boys to Wrigley because they've never been there. As I always call it, Chicago's largest bar, Wrigley Field.
Hell yeah, baby. I will drink to that. Hell yeah.
All right. Drinking to that, Mr. Logan Pierce, here on the JLSBX. We'll be back in a second.
Like what you're hearing, share us, tell a friend, and spread the word. You can find us at Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and many more. Don't be a fucking bastard.
Bad play by Brown as he lost it. Rondo sets it up. Here's Allen with a deep three. Yes! 2,000.
And the level of commitment that this guy has shown. Let me shut up.
James off the steal. James with the step.
That's a way to get your first bucket, Marv. The steal and the finish. James Worthy, Statue of Liberty dunk.
Oh, he steals it. With an answer. There's James to the bucket again.
Allow me to introduce myself.
You're listening to the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion. Now back to the show, you handsome devils.
That's right, the JLSBX, the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion, here on this fine May day, May 3rd, 2024. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for doing all that you do. Big shout out today to my guests. As always, other things that are going on as we head into May, we have some very exciting guests here in the state of Iowa that are running wrestling organizations, this and whatnot. It's all coming up. I want to thank you for listening, sharing, doing all that you do. The JLSBX, the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion. We had a good time again today. Thank you. Be good to each other. Don't cost nothing.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
The that's like the no malarkey tour that Joe Biden talked about a year ago.